move up above that, they have to be able to hold a 5-pound weight on their arm for 15 minutes. And that moves them up to red-tail hawks.
A winter class is back to teach local young people about birds of prey, and a helicopter crash ends okay for two on board. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more coming up. Alaska's 7th Annual Rural Energy Conference takes place this week in Juneau. The 3-day event includes technical workshops on newer technologies such as wind, tidal, geothermal, and biomass. Other sessions focus on funding, permitting, and regulations relevant to energy projects. Still others are on hydropower, regional electric grids, and efficiency. Field trips to Juneau power projects are included, so is an Energy 101 session, providing an overview for people new to the topic. The conference is sponsored by the Alaska Energy Authority and the Alaska Center for Energy and Power. Its theme is Energy Pathways to Alaska's Future. The event, Tuesday through Thursday at Juneau's Centennial Hall, is expected to attract several hundred people from dozens of cities and villages. Last year's conference was in Fairbanks. A helicopter crash south of Haines resulted in aircraft damage, but no major injuries Monday afternoon. A U.S. Forest Service employee and pilot from Coastal Helicopters were on board the chartered coastal chopper about a half hour after noon Monday, flying near Davies Creek, about 40 miles south of Haines, near Berners Bay on the east side of the canal. Wendy Zerngubel works with the Tongass National Forest and clarified the employees involved were not from the Upper Lynn Canal.
When landing on a ridgetop at the north end of the Davies Creek drainage, about 30 or 35 miles north of Juneau, the coastal helicopter, which was carrying the pilot and one Forest Service employee, was hit by a gust of wind and knocked onto its side, at which time it did sustain some damage.
Two other Forest employees were also at the scene at the time of the incident. No major injuries were reported, and the two on board went to Bartlett Regional Hospital for evaluation.
There were two Forestry Sciences Lab employees also already at the site awaiting transport off of the ridge, but they weren't directly involved in the incident.
The coastal helicopter flight was chartered by the Forest Service for research work at the Hean Latany Experiment Forest, almost equidistant between Haines and Juneau. The Forest Service says they've notified the National Transportation Safety Board, and a Forest Service team is being formed to investigate the incident. As the newly formed Haines Alcohol Task Force addresses teen drinking, the Juneau Homeless Coalition is taking on the difficult problem of chronic inebriates in the capital city. About 40 people from government, social service agencies, business, and the general public met Thursday to discuss the depth of the problem and search for solutions. Juneau Economic Development Council Affordable Housing Coordinator Scott Chambor led the meeting.
A lot of times these agencies are dealing with the problem on their own. And so what ended up happening today was a good kind of information sharing amongst those agencies that work most frequently with the homeless chronic inebriate population.
The problem seems to be growing, especially downtown. Business owners, library staff, and others described vandalism, violence, and harassment. Several coalition members said Juneau has around 30 homeless chronic inebriates, plus other longtime alcoholics who do have housing. Many also have mental health problems, fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, or other complicating issues.
The takeaway from this meeting was, a group of those agencies that deal with the same folks day in and day out to go ahead and start investigating that question of who exactly are these folks and what exactly are their needs so they can be addressed, instead of the more passive approach of just letting those folks come and get services as they see fit.
The information will be used to plan for new programs or facilities. Ideas include increased enforcement of alcohol laws, a shelter where drinking is allowed, and housing staffed by treatment professionals. If you want to know how eastern screech owl anatomy differs from that of the western screech, ask 11-year-old Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, talk loud.
Dylan, the eastern screech owl, came from Auburn, Alabama. Fish and Wildlife permitted us to have him here because, as an educational bird, because he's blind in his right eye, so he's not able to survive in the wild.
She's one of five graduates from last winter's Youth Raptor Education Program at the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines. It did so well in its first year, graduating five this year. Teacher Dan Hart says enrollment is open for a second year.
Four of those five have come back, like Lindsay and Lyric and Lydia. They come back and they work on Wednesdays or Fridays, and they come in, they do programs. So it's been pretty spectacular, and we made it a conscious effort not to water the program down. So we actually gave them hard things. They learned wing anatomy, feathers. They learned physiology. They learned optics for the eyes for the different type birds. They learned food preparation, how to make leather jesses and cuffs. They did everything.
Lydia, for example, has chosen to log more than 150 hours of quality time at the Eagle Foundation since she graduated in May.
There's a keel, which is right here on their body. If you feel it, and if there's muscle and fat, that means that they're good and healthy. But if there's like skin and bones or just little fat or little muscle, it means that it's not healthy and it needs some lots of food.
And she's really good. She just doesn't do that. She mucks out the mews. She cleans up bird poop. She
does
food prep, guts rats.
Involving the area's young people is one of the more recent moves that makes up a big expansion at the foundation over the last few years. The group has this season finished an indoor flight enclosure, have perfected the mew houses for new bird residents, and began offering live Feeding the Eagles shows for tourists who visit the center.
We don't know, because once when they reach a certain age, they just look exactly like an adult. So he could be 5, 6, or 7 years old. We don't know exactly.
How old are you?
11. My two most favorite animals in the world are birds and cheetahs. Actually, even though birds are prey of cheetahs and all, I would sort of be sad if a cheetah did kill a bird, but nature does what nature does, so.
But she agrees it's harder to study cheetahs than birds.
Yeah, because they're like man-eaters, but I like anything that'll eat us.
Hart says the program, which will be taught this year by the foundation's newest raptor handler, Ed Podgorski, is open to area kids aged 9 to 17.
There was no program for kids who were under 18. Most people, you have to be 18 to handle birds. So we just restricted it based on their physical stature. And they were all initially told, you can work with Dylan because Dylan is a very tiny bird and you're not likely to get injured and you can handle it physically. For them to move up to Hunter, which is the next step in the program, they have to be able to physically hold that bird for a significant amount of time. And then to move up above that, they have to be able to hold a 5-pound weight on their arm for 15 minutes. And that moves them up to red-tailed hawks.
The next class is scheduled to begin in February, and this year it could have its first exchange student, so to speak. Hart just returned from a trip to Canada's Yukon Territory, where the foundation conducted its first international bird visit, putting on 3 presentations that brought out 161 attendees. Some of them say they want to drive to Haines every weekend for the upcoming class. By the way, to legally transport an American bald eagle into Canada, you need a list of permits, like a State of Alaska Veterinarian Health Certificate, an Alaska Department of Fish and Game Letter of Authorization, Migratory Bird Permit, Import-Export Permit, Forms 3-177 for initial export and another one for re-import, 2 sites permits, one for the U.S. and one for Canada, and a Yukon Wildlife Act permit. But Hart called the trip a fabulous adventure for all involved, and it'll likely result in reciprocal programs with the Yukon Wildlife Preserve for the raptor internship and externship programs in Haines.
Reddish brown and mostly gray.
And, of course, the youth program, of which Lydia is a former student. She participated in the 3-month class that began in February at the foundation, reserving all her Saturdays for bird studies.
Then I start doing this, and I love it. You cannot get me away from it. Unless if it's like close, and then I'm like,
From Lydia Paxton, who moved to Haines last year, I learned that screech owls pant and they have pockets for cooling themselves off, that they have a high ear above their right eye and a low ear below their left eye. They can turn their heads 270 degrees, which is good because their eyes are so big they can't move them much. And I learned that they eat mice and insects, but could be eaten by eagles, bears, or other owls.
So, any questions so far?
How many times a day does he eat?
Once.
Just once a day?
Mm-hmm. He's nocturnal, which means that they sleep in the daytime and hunt at night.
The student program teaches a lot of information to young people, but visitors to Haines also are learning a lot from the program's newly trained little presenters.
Is he old girls?
Yes.
Do you have him in Alaska? Or
no, he's could keep this only in the east side of the Mississippi River, only in a small little area, but in a couple states. Mm-hmm. But if they want to, they will switch to either side.
Can you tell us how much he weighs?
He weighs 140 grams, and there's something called reverse sexual dimorphism, which means females are larger than the males, so that's why we think he's a male, because he's on the small side. He's about a fourth of a pound.
Lydia is among about 10 other local students who participated in the glass class.
Can we make him screech?
He doesn't really screech at all. The only time that I've ever heard him screech was during a test, and we thought it was one of the girls that made the sound, but it was actually him. He kind of makes like a, or have you ever heard like a high-pitched horse sound? Neigh?
Like a neigh, yeah.
A high-pitched neigh, really?
More information about the youth program is at the American Bald Eagle Foundation. Their phone number is 766-3094. The next class runs from February to April and meets every Saturday. Again, Dan Hart from the American Bald Eagle Foundation.
They've all learned how to handle the birds. They're very careful. They're very conscientious. They realize these are living creatures that have to be taken care of, and they do a fantastic job. So we're pretty thrilled to have them.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.